Hello, everybody. Jim Malone coming to you live on Dallas Trading Floor. It is Tuesday. Market a little bit down today. Oil's up, but everything else is kind of moving into place. You know, it's a tough market to trade. I mean, we're kind of going sideways here. And you know, it's not going to be as easy as it's been. Well, nothing has been easy. I'm up on a few things. I did shed some of my holdings, and just kind of show you what I'm up to. Basically, if you're following the ETF strategy, and that's a great strategy, by the way, and you know this will allow you probably to beat most of the hedge funds out there, believe it or not. Basically, this was invented by the Investor Business Daily, but basically what it does is that when we come into a uptrend, when we come into a confirmed uptrend, like we did the Friday before last, you jump into an index fund. Now, in my case, because the market is so screwy, I jumped into the UPRO, and it moved up very nicely. But probably the best one to move into probably would be the SPDR. But it's definitely been up as we started the upward trend. Now, if we go to a uptrend under pressure, which may happen, then we will sell half of the holdings and then hold half in cash. So kind of an interesting way to do things here. And, you know, definitely worth taking a look at in terms of that. I wanted to show you also kind of what the bulls versus bears are out there. We're starting to see some of the bulls move up a little bit. The bears are still in charge with 38.5%, but the bulls are at about 30.9%. And of course, where this comes from, of course, is the financial writers out there that will do that. So this is kind of gives you an idea of sort of where everything is indeed coming from. One stock that I have been buying as of late, and if you did see the video that I put out earlier today, that was, of course, ExxonMobil, and it's moved up very nicely. Now, the Brent crude and the WTI have moved down a little bit, but it looks as if we may end up with a windfall profits tax. That's kind of what the White House is signaling. If that were the case, that the last time they did that was under Carter a long time ago. I actually remember it, believe it or not. I'm an old guy. And it was pretty much of a disaster, but it's looking like they're going to do that again. But what happens basically when the windfall profit comes into play, typically the large integrated oil companies tend to go up. I did purchase, again, I have three full positions in Exxon, and I also have been starting a position in BP. So that might be of interest to you right now. It's kind of tough. I mean, there's just not a lot out there to buy, but there is one that did come on my radar screen. It's BJ's, and this is a wholesaler, kind of like Sam's Club, if you're familiar with that, or possibly Costco. But it's doing better than both of those. It is interesting because right now it has a 79.79 buy point. It's just right below that, so. This one may benefit from, you know, inflation, as they typically will resell other people's products. So this one may benefit from that kind of situation here, where they may be reselling some of the other stores that aren't doing as well. And but anyways, it's called BJ's Wholesale and Club, and its symbol is BJ's, right at a buy point, and with a cup formation. So also, it's a 97 on relative strength, so it's in the top 3% of all the stocks that are currently, and it's near a buy point. So that kind of is a good situation when it comes to that. Just wanted to show you kind of the current holdings that I have out there. Pretty standard. Of course, I've been talking about ExxonMobil really for about the last 2 weeks. I've been, you know, I've had it for about 20 days. It's up again today at 111.91. With about a 1% increase in terms of price. Volume's down a little bit, but just very, very slightly at 1% down. So that's looking good. AMSL, this one has not doing as well as I'd like it to. This course is a very interesting company in that it's a Dutch company, and they make the chip-making equipment that makes most of the very most high-tech chips in the world. So not a very well-known company, but a very critical company in terms of chip production, especially in the 5-micron range. So AMSL, it's up today. I'm still a little bit low down on this one. My average price on this one for buying was about $491. So I haven't abandoned the stock yet, obviously, but I am still waiting for it to move. This is kind of volatile because really the most action of AMSL is on the Amsterdam exchange, of course. So by the time the New York market opens up for the ADRs, American Depository Receipts, we kind of see it after it's been open in Europe. So kind of interesting stock there. Also, the ProShares UPro, this is one of the ones that I've been using sort of as a proxy for the market instead of using the Spider or the QQQ. This time when we went to a confirmed uptrend, I was buying the UPro. And that's done very well. It's about up about 5% in 5%. So it's looking pretty good in about a week. So that's looking fairly good. The XLE, of course, it's up as well. Now, the XLE is primarily, this is the Energy Select Spider ETF. The Energy Select Spider typically is mostly Chevron and Exxon. So if you have one of those two, you probably don't need this one, the XLE. But I did buy that as well. Again, as you can see, my weighting is very heavily towards the large integrated oil companies. I did buy a full position in BP today. It came up through a very nice buy point. Currently, the price of BP, when this slide was taken, $33.20, down just slightly, but still pretty good. We will see how this one does. I'm trying to build a position in BP just because I do think that it probably fare pretty well in this kind of, you know, interest rate environment. The interest rates are up, and the price of the Brent crude is, the oil is up about $2 a barrel today. So that's kind of been the take on it. And so let's get into some of your questions. Absolutely. Thank you. Let's look at, I'm looking here. Have you heard of Novatech? Yes, I have, and I probably would not be a buyer of it. I did, by the way, everybody. I sold my position in Eli Lilly, and this is one of the things. If you're not up 10%, when you're coming into earnings, it's sort of a good idea to look at possibly selling. That's what I did with Eli Lilly, and let's just take a look at that. And this is kind of the strategy that I employ. It's a very standard strategy. Again, if I'm not typically up 10%, I'm going to be a seller in something. And you can see how we came through earnings here on Eli Lilly. Let's put that up for everybody on TikTok. There we go. Beautiful. All right. So basically, we were up after hours. But here's the thing, and this is one of the reasons why I always caution people for coming into earnings, consider selling. And we were up here, and then boom, we retreated almost 3%. So if you come into the issue, I came in right here at the buy point on Lilly, basically 335 here, and then it marched all the way up above 350, and then boom, I was a seller right there, just right the day before earnings. And that's kind of what I like to do, is in earnings season, I'm trying to see stocks that are going to be running up. And then I will sell them typically before earnings. This doesn't always work. Obviously, nothing's 100%, but this is generally a very good idea. So typically, if I'm not up 10% on the stock, I will be selling it right before earnings. And the advantage of this, of course, is that, you know, if you do this, you're going to probably lock in some earnings because people buy on rumor and they sell on news. So anytime there's a news event, that's when you probably want to be trying to sell on that. Now, we're coming up on a Fed meeting, and of course, they're probably going to be raising the rate at least 25 basis points, probably more like 50 and maybe as much as 75. So this is going to affect the market. I would recommend possibly if you're up on any interest rate sensitive stocks, such as some of the home builders or something like that. I doubt you're up on those. selling before the earnings come. The Fed has a meeting. Why? Because that will probably adversely affect them. So There you go. All right. Somebody from TikTok is interested, and I don't know why they're interested in this stock, but they're interested in looking at Robinhood. Of course, this is a this was a favorite back, you know, last year. But you know, stocks are like fashion; they come in and they come out. Robinhood hasn't been doing very, very well, unfortunately. But then let's take a look at it, you know, because I hope that you didn't ride this one down. Remember, when you're buying a stock, it's you never want to let it run down more than about 10%, because, well, 7% really, because, you know, here's the thing. You want to buy it on an upward trend and you want to sell it on an upward trend. And if it's on a downward trend, you just don't want to touch it. That's pretty much the deal. All right. Currently, Robinhood is, and of course, that's the online brokerage company, is selling basically for $11.88, and it's down tremendously. Would I buy this stock? Absolutely not. Even though it does have a fairly good relative strength of 72, which makes it in the top, 30% or so of stock market. But there are some bottom fishers that are looking at this one. I am not much of a bottom fisher when it comes to stocks. I still think that even though we're in an upward trend right now, we're probably still going to see some more movement down. Currently, with Robinhood, we only have a 5 out of 9 on the checklist, or basically basically 56% checklist. I typically don't. My minimum typically is going to be 6 out of 9 criterion. This one fails, so unfortunately, I think with this one we're just going to have to, you know, look at something different. You know, look at something different for this one, and it doesn't work. This one just isn't working in terms of that. So no surprise there, because typically that's the deal with with stocks like this. Here's a stock that I did sell today: AEHR. Go Video is interested in this one. Let's look at it. AEHR. And part of the reason I did sell it just was underperforming. And this has just been the kind of the way the market has been. I mean, it's just been punishing stocks. Typically, it's just been punishing what I consider good stocks. And as you can see, that's exactly what happened. I bought it right below the pivot here. I wrote it up. And then, you know, once it moved down below that pivot, you can see that I have two stop losses there. I just said, okay, I'm down too much. I made a little profit on it because I bought it as it was moving into the pivot, but basically I'm out of the stock now. And it does have a 98 relative strength, which is in the top 2% of all stocks, but the relative strength line is trending downward now. So probably not, unfortunately, a good thing, but you know, did make a little bit of just tiny profit on it. This one has a 7 out of 9 checklist, so not a bad checklist. Just the market is not being very cooperative when it comes to semiconductor stocks. And that's the case with AMSL as well. It's one of the ones I have, and I may be, you know, I may have been in this position. I'm still in that one, and I still definitely think it's a great stock, but I haven't yet done anything there. All right. Okay. What is the checklist? Very, very good question. All right. What the checklist is that we have on every stock out there, we rate them to see if they're buyable or not. First of all, they have to have several things that are happening on that checklist. One of the things is in CAN/SLIM trading, which is basically what we're doing here. What we want to do in CAN/SLIM trading is we want to tip the scales as much as we can in our own direction. So what we do is we buy stocks as they come out of what they call basis. By the way, if you're interested in a really, you can type in this in the Google, just put in, you know, cup with handle, those things, and you'll find out what a base is. As they come up out of a base, they come up to what they call the buy point. And we typically like to buy it right as it's coming up through that buy point. But we also have other criteria that we look at in buying stocks. First of all, we want to make sure that at least 5 major funds, and these are like mutual funds, own the stock, because we want to see institutional investment in that stock. We also like to see the 30-day average of the stock above 10,000 shares, so we're not short on it. We also like to see it very close to its all-time high. Now, I know this sounds very strange to most people out here, but typically the way stocks work are that they will typically perform best when they're within 15% of their all-time high. So if a stock isn't in 15% of an all-time high, we typically won't buy it. And the reason is because there are other ones that are at that level, and it's more reliable in terms of upward motion. So in cancel investing, we are not essentially bottom fishers. What we do is we try to buy a stock that's on the upward trend. That's what we're always trying to do here. All right. Also, the current price needs to be above $10. Now, why is that? Well, typically below $10 in a share, any little volatility is exaggerated. So if you have a $1 move below $10, you're going to have essentially a 10% volatility. Well, our selling rules say that if a stock drops more than 7% from where you've bought it, you need to be selling it. Why? Because our studies have shown that anything below that, it's going to be very hard to get back to even. So, for instance, if you're down 8%, it takes approximately 10% to go. You have to move up 10% to get back to break even. If you go below 10% in terms of your loss, then you're looking at 15, and then it just gets worse and worse. So the rule is to typically sell when you're down 7%. And that's the reason why we typically don't like to buy stocks that are below $10, because it just starts too volatile. And it makes for the fact that we would have to probably sell just about everything that we got our hands on at one time or another. So that's also one of the things that in the checklist. We don't like to be below that $7. All right, let's take a look at Lilly and BP. I've owned both the stocks. I sold out of Lilly and I moved into BP, but let's look at Lilly first. And this again illustrates a rule that I use, and that rule is the 10% rule. There's a 7% rule and there's a 10% rule. And with the 10% rule, we don't want to typically hold a position through earnings if we are up less than 10%. And that was definitely the case here. When I bought Lilly, I bought Lilly on the 21st of October, and I bought a half position, and then basically it ran up, and then I was a seller. But I was a seller, and this is very interesting, I think. I was a seller right here because that was the day before its earnings. Its earnings were here. And as you can see, on its earnings day, it dropped, and it dropped almost 5%. So by using the 10% rule, which is if we are not up at least 10% before earnings, it's a good time to sell. Now, let's take a look at what we had happening in Lilly. We had some very good earnings, by the way, from Lilly, but this is the interesting thing about the stock market is, remember, it's sell on rumor. It's a buy on rumor, sell on fact. So it's very interesting there. Let's see if we can go back to there we go. Okay, I'm back here trying to show everyone sort of what the deal is for Sarah here. I may have it covered up with this a little bit, but here's the thing. We did have an increase in sales on Lilly of 2%, and we had a nice increase in terms of profit of 12%, but yet it went down. And why is that? Well, it was less than what was expected. So remember, when we're coming into earnings, it's a good idea to use that 10% rule and sell if we have a situation where you're up less than 10% on it. Now, if you're more than that, then you probably want to hold it. Now, what can you do in a situation like this? Well, sometimes if you're kind of close with 8%, then, I mean, nothing is written in stone, but if you're up about 8% or so, what you can do is you can split it. You can sell half of it. If you're up about 8%, good idea is probably to sell half and lock in some profits and then carry the rest through. But definitely if you're less than 10% coming into earnings, it's a good idea to take the money and run. And that's what I did with Lilly. Now, Let's take a look at BP for Sarah again. Thank you so much. Because I did buy I did buy BP. Let's get over to the BP chart. I did just buy BP, so put in BP there. There we go. This is in my Market Smith chart. So I'm going to take a look at this. I'm going to go over here to the daily chart to kind of show you what the price action is on it and kind of show you why I bought when I bought. Now you can see here, 11.1, I did purchase a position at 33.38. Now I'm down a little bit after hours because we closed at 33.20. Now hopefully I'm right on this one, in that we did have a lot of movement into the stock 3-4 days ago. Now we did have earnings, so I waited until after earnings to buy BP, and let's kind of take a look and see what happened with earnings, and if that was indeed the kind of a good thing or bad. Earnings were up, sales were up 53% for BP the last quarter, and the profits were up 162%. So that's awful lot. Now, even with that, it's still pulled back a little. It's still just kind of is sort of on the fence there. I do think with those kind of numbers, it's going to go up, mainly because if we look at this stock, the return on equity is 17%, which is excellent. Cash flow for each share, $1.37. And this is the most important thing, the PE ratio is 4. That means if you buy the stock and it's, say, it's a $30 stock, this is going to return to you based on this price. At this price, it's going to return to you basically a quarter of the stock price. So the stock price is going to return to you about $7, which is absolutely amazing. So with the BP stock, as you can see, we have 289 funds that are in it, but only 2% is owned by funds. A lot of these are owned by pensions or banks own BP. So this is stock that's been asleep for many years. And normally I wouldn't be a buyer, and if we weren't in a high interest rate environment, I probably would not be as interested in this stock as I am now. But in a high interest rate environment, oil, and especially oil refining, typically does very, very well. By the way, where there is a diesel shortage, and that is affecting the price of everything, because everything gets on here on a diesel truck or ship or possibly railroad. So that's what's happening here. With BP, we have a 90. We have a 90 relative strength. That means in the top 10%, and we do have a situation where we're starting to see, at least on the years. This is going all the way back to 2019. As you can see, we've been in an upward trend on BP for 1-3 years. So this has been making new higher highs for the last 3 years. It really got back in 2019. This was at an all-time low, pretty much, well, not an all-time, but close to it, for many, many years, and it's been improving ever since. The thing about oil stocks, especially the big integrated ones, they typically run with the inflation. So high inflation typically equals high cost of integrated oil stocks, and they typically are having good dividends during that time. We're coming up right to a cup with handle formation. This is what I'm talking about with a buying formation. So let's look at the daily chart just to kind of look at it and see what I'm talking about. Yeah, there we go. This is the cup. This is the handle, and as you can see, the handle's moved down. And now it's starting to make its move upwards. So this one possibly, these are just charts. And I did buy this one myself. So I did buy a full position. This is in the buy zone. The buy zone is really from about here at about 32 on up to about 35. So we're right in that buy zone. I think you could buy this one here. And I think you'd be pretty satisfied, because I think coming into the end of the year, I think we're likely to move higher on this one. I definitely to 34 and probably to maybe 40 on this one. But that's significant considering how low price a stock BP is. So thank you very, very much for that question, Sarah. Really appreciate it. Hi, Jim. Thoughts on Uber? Wow. I wish I had better news on Uber. I just don't think with Uber, it's going to be a good story, but let's take a look at it. URBR. The problem with Uber is we are out of the UBER. We're out of the period of time in which companies that don't make a profit probably will have a probably be moving up anymore. Here's the situation with Uber. We closed at $29.75, and then we're down a little bit after hours. They did come through earnings, and I think that let's take a look at the earnings. This is going to be key for them to see if they have positive earnings. I'm not sure on them because they were a money loser, and now I think they may have gone profitable. Yeah, they have. No, I'm sorry. They're still money losing. Excuse me. Their sales were up. Their sales were up 72%, but their profits, and this is the key, were down 61 cents a share. So really not something you want to be looking at, Uber, because in this particular market, stocks are being punished if they don't make a profit. Now, before, when interest rates were low, almost near zero, that wasn't the case. Companies like Uber were not making profits, but the potential was there, and so they were being bid up. But right now, Uber, even with its cash flow, isn't making it. I suspect there's going to be a lot of people that want to sell this. There's going to be shorting of this stock. Why? Because people are just going to eventually bail out. We've had a dropping number of funds in it. And we're currently down to 776 funds in this right now. So I wouldn't think this is a very good area. Let's see if we could potentially look at this for kind of adjust it for a short. I do think that we are in a situation with Uber where we may have a short potential here. And that would be as it moves up basically to the 50-day moving average, and we're getting close to that. So let's see if we can. I'm going to look at the overall chart here, and this is the monthly chart, really from the inception. So this is kind of a little jerky, herky jerky, but as you can see, it has been a downward trend. Really, it was up initially, up through 2018 to 2020, but then it's just been a downward trend all the way since. So we have a 53 relative strength. I do think that this is setting up for a potential short. Now, here's the thing about shorting. Oops. Is that when you do short, you have to be very careful and have a stop loss in there because shorts can unwind very, very, very quickly. Now, there's not a whole lot of meat left on the bone at $29, but I definitely think this one could easily move down to the $10 to $15 ratio. Now, I realize a lot of people do like this one, but if I was going to go long on this one, first of all, I wouldn't go long on Uber. I just don't think it's there. And I also think that you got to be super careful when it comes to even shorting it. So it's kind of a tough one. I probably would not be neither short nor long on this one, but it does look like if it does rally a little bit here, it possibly is setting up for a short, but again, don't recommend it at this moment. All right, let's take a look at Go Figure and the XLE. The XLE, everybody, that is the Energy Select Spider. And what that is so let's look at XLE and make sure that I have everything set up there so we can see it. All right, so this is the XLE, and With the XLE, I am in the XLE. As you can see from this chart, hopefully we can get that chart in there. There we go. Okay, there's the chart. All right, the buy point on this XLE is right up here at right up here at 93.31. We're currently at 90, so I am a little bit below that. I started acquiring the XLE basically right about here. I need to annotate this one a little bit better, but we have been moving up. Now, you definitely can buy this. I do think, now here's the difference between a regular stock and an ETF. ETF does not have a earnings. So So we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about buying it into earnings or anything like that. We don't have that problem. Right now, the XLE has a 96 relative strength. Now, the XLE is mostly Exxon and Chevron, but I do think it's quite a good stock, and I think it's definitely viable at this level. So that's my take on it. I do think that coming into the election, coming into the midterm election, we're likely to get more. More pressure on the oil market. It's probably likely to go higher. And again, there is the situation with diesel fuel as well. So that's another thing that we definitely can look at there. So I definitely think you know we're good to go with the XLE. So thank you for that. Go video. Chart is not up. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Sometimes I get these wrong. Apologize on these because I'm trying to. Hopefully, it's done there now. Jim, I'm 100% in cash just before the Fed meeting. You know what? That's not a bad place to be before the Fed meeting. I do think that we're going to see some action on the. I do think we're going to see some action on some of the oil stocks, but I think that you're best to stay in cash right now until the meeting and then go forward. But I do think that we're likely to see a bump in some of the things like the XLE. So that's what I think. But I think you're wise to be to be there. All right. AMD, this is of course this is Advanced Micro Devices. They're down a little bit after hours. Let's take a look at AMD chart today. AMD. And I'm going to look at the 60-minute chart here for AMD. Well, let's first of all look at the daily chart. Here we go with the daily chart. And we are trending down. But if we look at the 10-minute chart, we're going to see that all day it's been trending down, but there was a buy at the last minute. So here's the thing. There's been problems, unfortunately, in the chips. I had to sell out of AHAR today, and I have not been trading AMD. AMD is a great stock, but this right now the cycle just is not as good for some of these semiconductor stocks. So I'm out of the semis right now. The checklist on AMD is 5 out of 9, which is pretty good, but it's not great. And right now, I just think you've got to be super careful in this market. It's just it's a tough market to trade. So I would be out of I would be out of AMD at least for right now. I just think it's too difficult to trade it as we speak. All right, let's see if we can take another question from, what is this, crypto? No, these are stocks. These are actual stocks. Target, let's look at Target, TGT. Let's look at that right now. Let's look at TGT. All right, here we go. This is Target, and of course, everybody knows about Target. I think BJ's is the better stock if we're looking at retail. And I'm not totally against retail. I'm currently not in any retail names. I'm only in oil and gas, and semiconductor equipment manufacturers. That's all I'm in currently. But right now, Target is in a downward trend, but it's above the 50-day moving average. Would I buy it here? Well, its earnings are, coming right up in 15 days. I think I would stay out of Target here. But what we could possibly do is go into BJ's. So let's look at BJ's just real quick here, and we'll see if we can find anything there. So let me go over here to BJ's and compare it against Target. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up the chart for Target, and I'm going to compare it. With BJ's. And the reason I want to put it in BJ's here is because BJ's is the stock of the day, and I do think it's starting to pull away from target in terms of stock. So if you want to be in the retail, and that one might work very, very well. So let's go over to the comparison chart. Uh-oh, doesn't seem to want to show it. Let's see if I can get it back here. There we go. Sometimes it's hard for me to get this comparison chart up. It takes a bunch of clicks. Well, it doesn't seem to be wanting to show, but unfortunately, I can't show it. I can't show that chart, unfortunately. But it definitely is, BJ is definitely outperforming target. I wouldn't really recommend either of them just because of the way it's running. The way it's running here. Okay, well, we got a few more questions. I'm sorry, trying to get to everybody as quickly as I can. All right, love selling puts. Appreciated the advice on the entry point. Yeah, that's really good. Charles, you're absolutely right. You know, Charles is a little bit more advanced, obviously, trader than most people, but selling puts can be very, very profitable in this market. And basically what he's talking about is, you know, you take the stock price minus the volatility. And by the way, if you need to find out kind of what the expected volatility is going to be, at least during the range, what you can do is you can go to the nearest, you can take the call and the put that are right basically at, you know, the closest to the date. And then that will give you a range, essentially a range of volatility. So that's another way to look at the expected move that's kind of quick if you have access to some of those charts. So, but yeah, I mean, puts is the way to be right in this market. We're in a sideways market. And, you know, what I've been doing also is, you know, with my winning stocks like ExxonMobil, I've been selling calls against them. That's another way to generate income as well. But puts are definitely great in this market. So. Fantastic. Ah, the ready list. I should have the ready list up tomorrow. I don't have it right now, unfortunately. I didn't get through everything on that, but I will get to it for everybody. All right, Lisa, what's the link to the ready list? Oh, okay. I can show you a link to the ready list that I have. It hasn't been updated though. Let's go up here. I think I've got it. Yeah, here we go. This should be, let me kind of put that up. Let me see if I can. Yeah, there we go. So we can get it bigger. There we go. Okay. So this is the current ready list that I have. Oh, no, that's a subscribe list. Where's the ready list? TikTok. You know what? If you just go to www.dallastradingfloor, you should be able to get the ready list. I think it's up there as well. I'm going to be updating that, so appreciate. So hopefully I'll have it, maybe not tonight, but tomorrow definitely. I'll definitely have the ready list up. So again, all right, last question, and this is for Airbnb. Thank you, Mr. Jeet. So appreciate it. Let's look at Airbnb, see if there's anything there that we can talk about. Okay, let's go to Airbnb. Go put that up on the screen for everybody. I don't know why it's not letting me show this. This is very frustrating here, but it's not letting me show. Screen share was canceled. Make sure that you click share. Okay, well, for some reason, it's not letting me share, but let's try it again. Share screen. Why is it not letting me do it? Okay, well, all right. Here's what I can do. It's not letting me share the screen. For some reason, I'm having some technical issues here with this. I cannot share the Airbnb screen, but I'll just go through it just manually, and we'll do that here.
Let's see. We're going to move that over here to this screen. See if we can share it. I don't think we can. Ugh. Frustrating when the software doesn't cooperate. Here's the thing with Airbnb. I think it's just in a downward trend. It's at the bottom of a consolidation. So I think it may be a good short, though, you know, because we've still got some juice left in it. It's 101, and it was former high was 202. So, I, you know, there's 50% juice left in this one. This could be a potentially good short. We just came through earnings, so that's we're safe there. I think this is going to trend lower. I just think this is going to trend lower, even though they did have a nice bump there. I think it's going to trend lower in this kind of market. And I think that there's going to be a lot more competition. So, yeah, I think you could possibly put this on the short list because this one might work very, very well for that. All right, everybody. Let's see. Jim, should I use credit put vertical for better protection? You know what? I like that better. I think you definitely need to protect yourself in this market because it's so volatile. It can snap back on you, Charles. So I definitely like that. I definitely like the idea of a credit put vertical. You always want to be in the credit position as much as you can, and especially in this now. So I definitely like that idea. That's a good idea. Very, very good idea. Any thoughts on Meta? On Meta, I think you just got to be out of the stock. It's just too hard to trade right now. You know, it took that quarter. It lost a quarter of its value in one day, and I think it's likely to head even lower. So, but I don't want to short it. And the reason I don't want to short it is because I think there's going to be a lot of other people shorting it, and there could be a massive short squeeze on it. massive short squeeze. All right. Well, thank you so much. I didn't get to everybody today. I'm going to try to get up the ready list for everyone. By the way, if you're not already a member of, and I say this every time, but I do appreciate everybody liking the show. It really helps me out. I'm trying to, you know, run this on a shoestring, as you can tell by my technical glitches. I like to run on the shoestring, and I try to, you know, have it available for everyone. So please, it really helps us getting it. It really helps us get it out there. If you could like the show and subscribe, that would be fantastic. It really makes a difference. So please like that show and subscribe as well to the YouTube channel. And if you're on TikTok, please like it as well, because we have lots and lots of viewers on TikTok, well over 103,000. So appreciate that very, very much. I'll be back tomorrow at 5 o'clock. And till then, happy trading.